present Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring John Bird and Stephen Fry.
Mr. Prentice, life in the private sector is tough.
Yes, of course.
I understand that you spent 20 years working for the BBC.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear. And then you were sacked.
I wouldn't say sacked.
You wouldn't?
No. We were simply told that we had a distinctive contribution to make to the wealth-creating sector.
By someone who is both sober and serious. Mr. Prentice, the private sector is both sober and serious.
And so are we.
Prentice McCabe, Government Media Relations. What is Government Media Relations?
I think it's what are government media relations, actually. But one makes allowances. You are, after all, a bank manager.
Mr. Prentice, I'm a most busy woman.
Oh, most. Yes, most.
I have little time for flippancy.
About a business that has gone floppancy. No, I quite see your point. I promised you a distinguished list of blue-chip clients.
How many clients does your government media relations agency actually have?
Well, let me put it this way. You and I have always had an excellent working relationship.
When you were on a generous and regular BBC salary.
Which now, sadly, I am not. Let's talk business.
Oh, let us do so.
How far will you extend my overdraft for the exclusive, unrestrained, or possibly restrained use of my body? But you can't take that. That's my executive desk.
But it hasn't been paid for, has it?
No, that's my drinks cabinet.
Yeah, not anymore, it's not.
Oh, the sheer vulgarity of it. Look, this is Prentice McCabe. We are one of the fastest growing agencies in London.
Well, you'll have more space for it now, won't you?
Prentice McCabe is at the cutting edge.
Phone's been cut off.
Not now, Sandy.
Oh, look. A couple more weeks and there will be people beating that door down, begging to pay us a fortune for our services.
Yeah, sorry, mate. That's how it goes. Excuse us.
Yes, of course. But have I come at a bad moment?
And who might you be? A solicitor? A bailiff? A debt collector?
I am chairman of the Conservative Party.
Yes. Yes, of course you are. And I am Lorenzo the Magnificent. This is my friend Martin, Empress of all the Russias.
No, I really am the chairman of the Conservative Party.
Whatever you've just come for, just take it. Have a chair, have several, have a couple of filing cabinets.
I am, honestly. I've come to talk to you about my party's recognition problem.
Are you saying you're a client?
With money?
Well, of course.
Sandy, some tea.
We're out of tea bags.
Well, so, take some money out of petty cash.
There isn't any money in the petty
cash. Sandy, not now.
I'm only the office trainee. It's not my job to pay for the tea bags. Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Well now, Mr. Money.
Sir Archibald Sullivan.
Sir Archibald Sullivan Money, Martin McCabe.
We here at Prentice McCabe offer a unique range of services to a select group of blue-chip clients. Do turn that bin upside down and sit down on it. Now, what particular service are you seeking?
Gentlemen, I've come to you for one reason.
Because Prentice McCabe is hot, hot, hot.
Because nobody else will touch us with a barge pole. People say we don't want the Conservative Party's account. It doesn't look good on our client list.
Sad, Martin.
Positively poignant. What exactly are you looking for?
Well, I want you to think of the Conservative Party as a business that's underperforming.
Yes, I think we can manage that.
I want you to think of us as a once great name that has fallen on hard times.
The Wolverhampton Wanderers of the opinion polls.
They're quite so. And what I want is a media relations strategy that will revitalise our election prospects.
My dear chap, you don't want Prentice McCabe, you want the Church of the Latter-day Miracle.
The party is willing to spend a substantial sum.
In that case, consider yourself revitalised.
The bloke at the shop says you can't have the tea bags because you're still home for two sausage rolls.
Obviously, some misunderstanding there.
I told him it's for the chairman of the Conservative Party, and he said, in that case, let's see the hackers up front.
I'm so sorry, she's a trainee.
Charles, this is the Conservative Party, after all. Let's see the hackers up front.
Business is more like it. It's a terrible effort, this private sector lark, isn't it? Relentless racing and chasing.
If that's what it takes to succeed, Martin, Prentice McCabe will do it.
It's an awful shock to a man who's spent all his working life at the BBC, though, isn't it?
And who was it who said, we'll never work again?
But I liked the idea of never working again. I had every intention of never working again.
You were going to spend your redundancy money on a pub.
No. I was going to spend my redundancy money in a pub. Get up late, amble through the village, wander in, sit at my favourite table, the Times, a nice warm fire, and a glass of Guinness and Advocar.
God.
Still, here we are.
With our first major client to serve.
Yes, well, listen, how about this? The Conservative Party conference, music.
Ah, yes, now that is an important point. We can't relaunch the Conservative Party as a new modern party if they still insist on Land of Hope and Glory.
What about Send in the Clowns? And a banner across the front of the stage saying, if you think this is bad, wait till Ann Widdecombe gets here.
Pleasing concept, but can we sell it to the client?
Now, the other thing they need is a symbol.
Yes, yes, a logo, like New Labour's Red Rose.
Yes, or that bird thing the Liberals have got.
Yes, Martin, that's brilliant.
What, that bird thing?
No, a symbol, a logo. Something people will see and automatically think Conservative Party. Martin, what one thing makes you think Conservative Party?
Fruitcake.
Fruitcake? So I go back to the client and propose a nationwide poster campaign saying vote Conservative with a picture of a fruitcake.
Well, a positive, happy fruitcake.
A happy fruitcake.
Well, all right. A miserable fruitcake.
Martin, this business is not going to make a profit by selling miserable fruitcake to the Conservative Party.
I'm being serious.
Your appearance is deceptive in the extreme.
Do not discount the miserable fruitcake vote. All over Britain, there are millions of miserable fruitcakes just waiting for a lead.
Martin, could we once and for all get off fruitcake? As regards the fruitcake motif, the germ of an idea has just met the domestos of harsh reality.
Listen. What is the point of New Labour?
Oh, can I phone a friend or go 50-50 on that one?
The point is that it's new. Oh, God, it's new and modern and dynamic. Well, I don't want to be new and modern. I want to put on old slippers, sit in an old armchair, watch old Morecambe and Wise videos. I suppose I may have to put up with all this newness, but I don't have to like it. You see, I'm a miserable fruitcake.
Do you know I think you're on to something? Let's research it.
Oh, no. Let's not. Let's pretend to research it. So much less effort. I do see what you mean about your recognition factor.
Is it that bad?
It is quite bad, yes. Prentice McCabe did some research on your behalf, didn't we, Martin?
Yeah, some extensive, expensive research.
Which shows that the leader of the Conservative Party is slightly less well-known than the manager of Plymouth Argyle.
And only 2 points above the all-night weatherman on Channel 5.
Well, of course, it does take a party a long time to recover.
You mean from electing a leader like yours?
I finished the questionnaires. I filled them all in different ink, like you said.
not just at the moment, Sandy. Thank you.
Do I get the 20 quid out the patty cash, like you said?
For the tea bags, yes, certainly, later.
Mr. Prentice, what has making up questionnaires got to do with a national vocational qualification in business administration level 2?
Yes, Sir Archibald, may I introduce our questionnaire design executive?
Vital member of our team.
Oh, pleased to meet you.
Can you sign that?
Sandy, not now.
It's to say that I've greeted a client in a professional manner, according to Unit 7 of the National Vocational Qualification.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, Tory bastard.
Sir Archibald, I think it would be fair to say that we have the glimmerings of a strategy here, but I think we'd like to do some research.
Would we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Martin, we would. We'd like to spend an afternoon in the House of Commons.
Oh, I can certainly arrange that for you.
Well, couldn't we just admit defeat and file for bankruptcy?
Madam Speaker, when the Prime Minister looks at the latest unemployment figures, does he not agree that his government inherited a strong economy from the Tories and ruined it?
I'm very glad he mentioned figures, Madam Speaker. This morning, there was an opinion poll published in the Telegraph. His party is now further behind Labour than it was at the general election. He has taken a massacre and made it worse.
Absolutely true, I fear.
You don't think this fellow's a hopeless case, do you, Charles?
Does he not recognise the mistakes his government is making?
I I hate to go on about opinion polls, but does he not recognise that a clear majority of the British people don't recognise him? They wouldn't recognise him if he walked up to them and said, I am the leader of the Conservative Party.
John, do you really think this is worth the effort?
Think what this will do for the profile of Prentice McCabe.
Sink it without trace by the sound of it.
Come on, let's go and mingle.
So you're going to develop a media relations strategy?
Raise our profile. How are you going to set about it?
Well, that's why my colleague Martin here and I are so fascinated to meet you.
Fascinated, oh gosh, yes.
We are fascinated to meet a representative sample of Conservative backbenchers.
I'm tumescent.
Yeah. And what we were rather hoping is that you could give us some idea of the themes we should be stressing in our media campaign.
We need to listen to the British people.
But they're telling you to sod off.
The time has come for compassionate conservatism.
The birch.
Hello?
I've been in conservative politics 40 years. And believe me, there is nothing the British people like better than the lash of the birch on firm young buttocks.
Compassionate birching.
Yes. Sensitive hanging. There could be a headline or two in sensitive hanging.
You see, the real problem is the leader. He's too young somehow.
Or too old.
So, in sum, we want compassion and birching, and the leader is too young and too old. Well, that's been most illuminating. I think we can work with that. Wouldn't you say so, Martin?
Is there anywhere around here you can get some fruitcake?
His speech was the most thoughtful, intelligent and appealing he has made since becoming leader. The Times. Martin, this is extraordinary. Well done.
Yes, well, thank you, Charles.
I never knew you had a talent for political speech writing.
No, neither did I.
This could mean a great deal of work.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes.
No. What was it the Telegraph said? There must be millions of ordinary citizens who will warm to his message and who respond instinctively to calls for compassion with discipline, flogging with fruitcake. If the Tory leader keeps this up, the next election is not such a foregone conclusion as some would like to think. Well done, Martin.
Well done. I don't even like Conservatives. I mean, if it wasn't for them, we might still be in the public sector, wasting our time and other people's money. I was put on this earth to waste my time and other people's money. That's what I'm for.
Before we can waste it, Martin, we have to earn it. We're going to turn the Conservative Party into the success story of the new millennium, and we're going to charge a great deal of money for doing so.
Mr. Prentice, there's a call for you. He says it's urgent.
Mr. Prentice, over here.
Ah, over there.
Psh. Mr. Prentice, I represent the sources close to.
The sources close to what?
I come from a department which does not exist.
Customer relations at Marks and Spencer? let there be light.
Shh. Mr. Prentice, I am here on the express orders of Downing Street, and that is why I am not here.
I understand completely. I am one of Richard Branson's trains, and that is why I am not here. In fact, there really is nobody here. There's no need to whisper. If this meeting's really that secret, we could go to the Millennium Dome. That way we'll be really private.
We at Downing Street have followed your work for the Conservative Party with great interest. It has been excellent. Downing Street is very disappointed.
Well, we're merely doing our job, you know. The Conservative Party is a client like any other.
You have a new client now. You're preparing for a special Conservative conference to relaunch the party and boost its credibility. Is it going well?
It's going very well.
It's going to be a disaster. An unmitigated catastrophe. It will destroy any possibility of a Conservative recovery this side of an election.
Can I just here raise a vitally important ethical question? How much?
In the event that you perform this service, Downing Street would be conspicuously grateful. There would be every possibility of future work which would be highly remunerated. Naturally, we are not in the habit of handing people cash in brown envelopes.
Ah, a designer jiffy bag.
Sandy, it's perfectly simple. You come here, get trained in all aspects of office work, and we don't pay you anything. It's called the government's New Deal.
But it's not training, it's work. I'm running this office.
And what could be better training than that?
And you promised to review the question of paying me.
And we shall. We shall set up a review which will conduct an inquiry and then produce a report. Then we might do something. The truth is, Sandy, at the moment we can't afford it. Put that in petty cash, will you?
Oh, yeah, right.
Martin, a word.
Yeah, can I just finish this? It's the leader's speech for this blessed conference.
Yes, never mind that. Get your coat.
Oh, very well.
Prentice McCabe, one moment, please. It's Sir Archibald.
Ah, yes.
No, not just now.
Putting you on hold, caller.
But Charles, I think he's going to like the speech.
La 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 la.
Martin, we must speak.
La 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 la. Still trying to connect you. Oh, he's hung up.
The Peking lacquers.
Oh, splendid, yes, in a broad sense of that term.
The Cohen and Wong Chinese culture surprise.
Yes, that is a surprise.
But, Charles, you told me to exert myself to write a speech that would reshape the political landscape.
Yes, I did, and so it will.
Charles, I've done it. We set the whole thing up, the special conference to relaunch the party. The press is squared, the middle class is prepared.
May I bring you anything else?
No, I think the bar mitzvah with black bean sauce will wait until another day.
Bon appetit on behalf of Cohen and Wong.
Look, whatever might be said about Conservatives, I've said it. But we've accepted their money, and now you're proposing to turn us into a sort of New Labour dirty tricks department.
Yes, but it's such a challenge, Martin. Quite apart from what it'll do to our bank balance.
Yes, there's always that, isn't there?
Look, here we are, for better, for worse, and we're being offered a retainer, a permanent source of income.
To become a part of New Labour's control freak, one-party state, to sell our soul.
Oh, but the sheer challenge of it. You're so right. The press will be watching. Television will be watching. To contrive an unforgettable, unmissable cock-up. This calls for a wheeze on a scale that we have never wheezed before. We must work all night, the long, dark night of our soul.
Charles, in front of all that media attention, it can't be done.
May I offer you a little gefilte fish foo, Young? It's a Cohen and Wong first.
Six minutes. And that was for John Major.
Yes, wouldn't it be nice to be guaranteed a standing ovation for talking absolute tripe? I mean, the leader can say anything he likes and they get up on their hind legs.
Yes. My friends and I have converted to communism.
You are all a bunch of spotty fascists.
Let's all take our clothes off and have some caring conservatism.
See, but that is your problem, Charles, how to contrive a disaster. This lot applauded Virginia Bottomley doing Gilbert and Sullivan. Not even your devious brain is going to come up with anything worse than that. Face it, Charles, this is a wheeze too far, even for the wheeze master general.
Well, there's no need to sound so pleased about it. We're supposed to be a partnership, Martin. If one fails, we both fail.
Yes, but anyway, I was rather looking forward to bankruptcy. I was getting myself into bankruptcy mode. As a matter of fact, I think I might nip off round the off-licence, get some Guinness and Advocar. Anyway, Charles, the Conservatives will pay us even if it's not a disaster.
Yes, but they will pay us once. A retainer from New Labour will be regular money and regular fun. Oh, no, Martin. I'm not giving up just yet.
Charles, you did give me the petty cash, didn't you?
Yes.
I gave it to Sandy to put in the petty cash tin. It's empty.
Martin, I'm sure there's a perfectly reasonable explanation.
Tea bags. You owe me 70 pence.
Sandy?
Sandy, can we have a word with you?
Yeah. Oh, the petty cash.
Yes.
How much are you giving me?
Sandy, when you came to us, it was in many ways a leap in the dark.
Yeah, it was. It's all right. I've got used to you now.
We are aware that you're from a difficult background.
What, my dad?
Yes, quite.
Cost a fortune going up to strange ways every month.
Yes, indeed. And perhaps we haven't been as generous in rewarding your efforts as we might have been.
Yeah. So what's the deal? How much?
The thing is, there's a bit of a problem.
You've spilt claret in the photocopier again.
I'm sure we can get this sorted out and keep it private between ourselves.
Well, I won't tell anybody what you've been looking up on the internet. Mind you, it was a bit of a surprise. I tried to log into Sir Archibald and I got women's mad wrestling.
Yep, Sandy. Oh, Martin, you do it.
Sandy.
Yes?
Sandy.
Yeah?
Did you steal £200 from petty cash?
What?
Unfortunately, Sandy, a sum of money appears to have gone missing.
Are you taking the piss? I even bought the tea bags out of my own money. Are you serious?
We are aware of your financial position.
And whose fault is that? I'm only the bloody trainee. I do more work than the pair of you put together. I get 20 quid once a fortnight, if I'm lucky. I spend half my time covering for you. Oh, I'm sorry, he's in a meeting. When what I ought to be saying is he's so brain dead, I don't know if he's got a name or just a tag at the end of his foot.
Sandy, it may well have been our fault for creating temptation.
I haven't touched your sodden money, you pompous tart. All I want to do is finish my national vocational qualification.
Level 2.
Level 2! And get the hell out of this dump. I'm supposed to be doing business letters, photocopying and basic invoicing. I come in here and I end up making tea for some bulberk who thinks he's chairman of the Conservative Party.
Sandy...
Stuff your office training, stuff your stupid agency and stuff you!
Well, I thought I handled that pretty well.
Well, it's only a couple of hundred quid.
Which represents our entire advance from Sir Archibald.
Then we must simply earn some more. It's going to be a long night, Martin.
Staring at videos of old conferences won't help. Face it, Charles, we're beaten.
We are not beaten. Well, we're nearly beaten.
We can't nobble the speech. I mean, they rehearse and re-rehearse these things nowadays. If we substituted a really bad speech, he'd spot it in an instant.
And the security for party conferences is watertight. I did think of trying to pack the audience with tattooed skinheads singing, we are Tories, no one likes us, we don't care. Can't be done.
Well, what else is there? Look at it. The leader, a platform full of worthies, an adoring audience, a sign language interpreter for the deaf.
Yeah. What did you say?
A platform full of worthies.
No, never mind that. An interpreter. Translating what the party leader is saying into sign language. That's it! Martin, do you remember President Carter?
Vaguely.
He paid a state visit to Poland, and he took the world's most incompetent Polish translator. He thought he was saying, I am full of admiration for your achievements.
Yes, so what?
Well, what he actually said was, I come amongst the Polish people full of lust for your children. It was a disaster, Martin.
But, Charles, the leader of the Conservative Party isn't being translated into Polish.
But he is being translated into sign language. Disastrously. Do trains run all night to Brighton?
Oh, dear. Yes, they do.
Then ho for the Tory conference, and more ho, and an extra side order of ho, and don't hold back the ho. Now, when he gets back to the bit, I am delighted that Michael Portillo is back. Welcome back, Michael. Yep. That's it. The two fingers fully extended. That's right. But try to imagine you're throwing a discus. That's it.
Like this.
Exactly. And then it's, welcome back, Michael. Splendid. Now, when he says, the Conservative Party will come again and again and again. I like that. But I think you could afford to do it a bit more. We're not paying you to hold back, darling.
In fact, at that point, you could even fall off the rostrum in a sort of sweaty mess.
Now, oh, Martin, you haven't seen this one. Have a look at this. Would you give us your My Colleagues in the Parliamentary Conservative Party?
Certainly.
Do you think I might be going a tad too far?
I don't think so. In fact, I think you could afford to turn round so that people can actually see where you're pointing.
Now, this rather weak passage in the speech, frankly, Martin, you know, this bit about the common sense revolution, I think that requires something particularly scatological.
The Prime Minister, the man's a fraud. And let me say this to the voters of Kensington.
I don't think he meant to say that to the voters.
Thank you, and welcome back, Michael. My colleagues in the Parliamentary Conservative Party know, as I do, that the Conservative Party will come again and again. We will come again.
Oh, dear.
Oh, joy. Martin, I think it would be unwise to outstay our welcome. The station now.
And that is what I mean by the common sense revolution.
We apologise to passengers requiring a 10 o'clock service to London. It's a Richard Branson train, so it's not here.
Oh, gentlemen,
Oh, Mr. Prentice, gentlemen.
It's Sir Archibald.
Oh, there's something I must tell you.
We can explain everything.
No, we can't, actually.
Mr. Prentice, when I was last in your office, your petty cash tin was open on the desk. In it was the £200 I had so rashly given you. I fear I'm very much afraid.
So he wasn't, Sandy.
You see, we can't afford to give you £200, and most of the party's benefactors are in prison. Even our jumble sales make a loss. But we're Tories. We are Tories. No one likes us.
As the Tory leader reached his climax, a climax of a quite different kind was being enacted by a seemingly demented sign language interpreter whose antics attracted the attention first of the press, then the television cameras, then the entire hall. Its speech ended amid some confusion.
Thus causing what might have been a triumph to descend into shambles.
Sandy!
Oh, Sandy, well, you came and you gave without taking, but we sent you away. Oh, Sandy.
Yes. Sandy, we have made an error of judgment for which we apologise.
We humbly apologise. We would be most grateful if you would resume your office traineeship with Prentice McCabe.
Meaning I make the tea and do the photocopying?
No. This is not a day for photocopying. This is a day for celebration. Look at that.
Congratulations and well done. There will be plenty more where that came from.
You haven't seen that, of course.
Indeed not. That, Sandy, is a fax that does not exist.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring John Bird and Stephen Fry, with Siobhan Hayes, Jeremy Clyde, Tony Gardner, Martin Hyder, Simon Greenall and Beth Chalmers. The music was by Matthew Scott and the programme was produced by Paul Schlesinger.